about beef. I wanna talk to you directly. I can't ignore, I can't escape, and ask 'cause you affect me. This energy is killing me. I gotta let it pour up.
This is Super Kenny in Washington, D.C. with the Fuzz Voice of America.
Welcome to Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi in Washington, D.C. Now, if you've been following news events on the continent, one of the most important political developments in the world, and specifically in Africa, took place on November the 21st of 2017. And on that day, Zimbabwe's Robert Mugabe, who had been in power for over 37 years, resigned from office. Mugabe was one of the longest serving presidents in Africa, and at 93 years of age, he was not showing any signs that he intended to relinquish power. In fact, political observers said that by all indications, he was further consolidating his power. Just to give a brief recap of what led to his resignation, his wife Grace Mugabe and current president Emmerson Mnangagwa had been locked into a political battle where they led competing factions in the ruling ZANU-PF. Now, the Zimbabwe military later intervened in what was clearly a coup d'etat, even though they avoided calling it a coup. And the drama that followed was watched by millions in Zimbabwe and around the world. And just to remind those of you who might have forgotten or entirely missed out on this dramatic episode in African political history, the ruling ZANU-PF party decided that it was going to impeach President Mugabe. But as they met to start the process of impeaching him, they were told that he had agreed to resign. But the story of what took place in Zimbabwe is not the first, and neither is it the last. The politics of our continent is rife with leaders that cling on to power at all costs. They only leave after they have been forced out of office. And in Zimbabwe's case, even though the transition was bloodless, in many other countries, such transitions of power often lead to a loss of lives. Mugabe was in a class of leaders who have been in power for over 30 years, and many of them are still in power and show no intention of leaving, and have often found different ways of clinging on to power. However, many observers say that such leaders will look at the departure of a man like Mugabe as a warning sign. Now, whether they use that as an opportunity to map out a peaceful transition of power, or if they dig in and find other ways of clinging on to power, is something that remains to be seen. So on the show today, we will look at some of the events that led to the downfall of one of Africa's longest leaders, the impact this will have on the country and across the continent for millions who have been watching the events in Zimbabwe and can relate in some form to the struggles of Zimbabweans who for many years had been yearning for this kind of change. But first, let's listen to your views on what if there is any lesson that our leaders can learn from the Zimbabwe situation.
Like everybody smart thing so.
Welcome back. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi, and I want to thank all our listeners around the continent who contributed their views and opinions on our show today. We are discussing the events in Zimbabwe that led to the resignation or fall or coup d'etat or whatever you want to call it of one of the world's longest serving presidents, former Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe. Now, we know Mugabe left office under pressure from the military, and his former vice president was sworn in. That's Emmerson Mnangagwa. He was sworn in as the new president of Zimbabwe. And in the studio with me to give us an understanding of what transpired in Harare that led to this spectacular fall from grace, no pun intended, of a man who had vowed to rule the country until his death is my colleague Blessing Zulu, a Zimbabwean political analyst and reporter with VOA's Zimbabwe service. Blessing, thank you very much for joining us. Can you tell us, were you surprised when Mugabe tendered his resignation right before his impeachment?
I was not surprised. I saw it coming because I think pressure had been building since Wednesday when the military took over. They put President Robert Mugabe under house arrest, although the army was quick to say it was not a coup, but they just wanted to remove malcontents, in quotation marks, around the president. And the ruling ZANU-PF party recalled Mr. Mugabe, and the parliament was moving to impeach him. But significantly, his ruling party was saying that they want to prosecute President Robert Mugabe's wife, Mrs. Grace Mugabe. Mm-hmm. So I think they were using that as a
pretext.
Yes, mm-hmm. To put pressure on Mugabe to say, if you don't step down, we are going to take your wife to the court. So mm-hmm. the wife was a bargain chip. So once you involve the family, it becomes a bit problematic. So there was no way out for Mr. Mugabe. And remember, there were also protests in Harare on Saturday and also yesterday to force him to step down. So I think it was coming.
Now, many people are saying that this seemed a little too choreographed from the beginning, from when the military kept referring to Mugabe as Comrade Robert, in these very endearing terms, referring to him as Commander-in-Chief, Comrade Mugabe, all the way up to the end, even to the day when he was supposed to tender that resignation in a very highly publicized television speech that everybody was waiting for many hours. I'm quite sure you were. Mm-hmm. That the military kind of had this thing in control, and that they knew they had steps from one up to, I guess, A up to Z when finally he tendered his resignation, that it was so highly choreographed that Mugabe did not have much say in what was happening.
I think one thing to understand, Jackson, is the fact that military coups are now out of fashion in Africa. So the army had to be very careful in how they were to execute this. So you see, when they moved in to put Mr. Mugabe under house arrest, there was a lot of condemnation from the African Union, from the Southern African Development Community, that is the SADC region, from the United Nations, and many countries were raising serious concern. Mm. So stage two was to follow the constitution, because everyone was saying, if you want to remove him, do it democratically. So this is why they chose another route, for him to be recalled by the party, for parliament to impeach him.
To go through the whole process of, saying him that he leaves power, but without it being called a coup d'etat.
Yes. So that's why, they were still referring to him as His Excellency, and one thing
that was pressure from SADC and AU and maybe the international community.
They knew that once they declared it it a coup, SADC was likely going to put boots on the ground, and especially South Africa. Remember, former President Robert Mugabe, was very close to South African President Jacob Zuma, who is also the SADC chairperson. And it's very easy, you know, to deal with Zimbabwe because it relies a lot on South Africa.
Right.
So South Africa can just close the border. Electricity comes from South Africa. Virtually everything. So
there are very few things that Zuma could have done in South Africa that could have polarized life
in a few months.
Right.
So this is why, you know, they were trying to portray it as not a coup. But of course, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, swims like a duck, it's a duck. This was a military coup.
I like the way you put that. But obviously, many people are saying this, the coup that was not a coup d'etat, but was a coup d'etat. So let's talk about, going forward now. Emmerson Mnangagwa, a man that many people find so hard to pronounce the name. It's not as easy on the tongue as Mugabe was.
But you did it well, the best I've had so far.
You helped me along the way. Mnangagwa is a veteran. He's been around the system for a while. He's held high-profile positions. He's very much, connected to the system that has been there for the last 37 years. Do you see this as change? Do people in Zimbabwe see this as change? There could be change of the person on top, Mugabe, and the wife, but is Mnangagwa coming in? Does that represent any type of change?
I was talking to many political analysts inside and outside Zimbabwe who are saying that people should be cautious with Mr. Mnangagwa. Remember, he referred to Mr. Mugabe as his father. Mm. The two have been together since 1976 during the Liberation War. And many in Zimbabwe say he was actually Mr. Mugabe's enforcer, if we can use that term. Everything that Mr. Mugabe knew, Mnangagwa knows. Mm. So some analysts are saying this might actually be Mugabe on steroids. So we'll see what happens next. But celebrations are subdued.
Right. What is the mood like in Zimbabwe when you talk to people who have been following or even been working on this type of change, looking for this type of change for so many years, whether it's human rights activists, journalists, people in civil society, organizations? What are they saying when you talk to them on your shows?
People, of course, they are very happy that at least, this is a step in the right direction. But this does not mean that all of a sudden things are going to change for the better in Zimbabwe. And of course, you saw people in Harare celebrating. That is expected because Harare is the stronghold for the opposition. Mm. But in the rural areas, we are not getting much coverage. So that is where Mr. Mugabe got most of his support. But
right.
Of course, coups are usually executed in the cities.
Mm.
But, in the rural areas, it's true that maybe some people are not happy. And 67% of Zimbabwe's population is in the rural areas. So
right.
Mr. Mugabe had a lot of support in the rural areas. But some would say, he was also using a lot of coercion, violence to intimidate people in the rural areas. So it would be interesting to hear from them what they say about Mr. Mugabe's ouster.
And that's not new that Mugabe had a lot of support in the rural areas. Every major political party in Africa,
indeed,
ruling party, has their base is usually in the rural areas. Before I let you go, I wanted to ask you the million-dollar question. Obviously, people are trying to extrapolate this, look at this. As a person who's following African politics, there's a lot of excitement on the continent. This is the third long-term leader on the continent leaving power this year, 2017. They're looking at this as a signal to a wave of change that is happening on the continent. What is it that said the rest of Africa can learn from what happened in Zimbabwe?
The problem, I think, first, it's the Zimbabwe experiment is not a very good example, especially when the army moves in. But the problem with Mr. Mugabe, according to many analysts, is that he allowed this situation to develop, essentially, because remember, the military in 2008, when many believed that opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai won the election, the military moved in, you know, and results were not declared for almost a month. You know, and many feel that that election was rigged simply because there were no results for quite a long time. Instead of 5 days, it went for almost 21 days. Mm-hmm. And the problem now in Zimbabwe was, you see this in many African countries, you go for elections, but they are not elections. It's what I can call electoralism. Mm. You know, it's just a ritual.
It's a formality.
You know? Yes, you know, yes. You're going to lose elections. Yeah. So if people lose faith in elections, it's dangerous. This is what was happening in Zimbabwe, for example, that people would just say, you know, people are not even voting. They will say, you know, even if we vote,
it doesn't matter.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Remember what Stalin said at one time, that those who vote do not matter, right. But who matters is the one who counts,
the votes. Yes,
you
yes.
see. So it's the same in Zimbabwe, that if you don't allow people to vote freely, to elect the leaders freely, you end up having coups. This is what happened to Mr. Mugabe, revered in many countries in Africa because of his pan-Africanism. But back home, you know, there was a death of democracy.
He was a person who was seen as having taken away the people's rights to the ability to express themselves through the ballot.
Indeed. So what you had was, you know, you had the right to speak, but you were not, you were free to speak, but not free after speaking.
Hopefully that marks a beginning of a new Zimbabwe for many people who have been following the situation on the continent and in specifically in Zimbabwe. Blessing Zulu is one of them and has been reporting about it. You can follow their show, the Zimbabwe Service at voanews.com and look at some of the reporting they do. They do also in Shona and Ndebele,
yes,
as well as in English.
In English.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jackson. The pleasure is mine.
Front on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington. Now, Nadia Sammy is in Johannesburg, South Africa, a country that has very close ties to Zimbabwe and former President Mugabe in particular. South Africa is also host to thousands of Zimbabweans who have been living there for different reasons, whether to find work or just to escape what they said was political oppression in their country. Nadia is following this story and has this report.
South Africans have been keeping a very close eye on the situation in Zimbabwe over the past few days for many reasons. We have a large Zimbabwean population in the country, but also Mugabe has for decades been a key figure in African politics. There was concern as well that if Mugabe was ousted, he may seek exile here in South Africa, and there was mixed reaction to that possibility. Many locals were opposed to the idea, while others, including the Economic Freedom Fighters Party, said Mugabe should be allowed to come here if it allowed for a peaceful transition in Zimbabwe. When the news eventually broke that Mugabe had resigned, there was an electric atmosphere in South Africa. Impromptu celebrations broke out in Hillbrow in Johannesburg, where there is a large Zimbabwean expat community. People were joyful and full of hope, singing songs and expressing their excitement. They spoke of being able to return to their home countries after searching for greener pastures elsewhere. A definite sense of jubilation, Jackson, a feeling of excitement and change in the air. Many people expressed that they'd never thought they would see this day. Several Zimbabwean nationals captured the sentiment that they believed Mugabe would outlive them. So the overwhelming sense on the streets of South Africa has been one of jubilation, excitement, and hope for what the future holds.
Thank you, Nadia, for that report. That was Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Now, Nadia, let me, before I let you go, as I was talking to Blessing Zulu earlier on in the show, this is a very important question where people are asking whether President Emmerson Mnangagwa represents a change that Zimbabweans had been waiting for this long.
Many Zimbabweans feel that Emmerson Mnangagwa, that he doesn't really hold credentials very different to that of Robert Mugabe. In fact, Mnangagwa was largely responsible for Mugabe staying in power for as long as he has. He's been one of Mugabe's trusted generals for many, many years. And he's also, this legacy he has of his actions in Matabeleland and the Midlands provinces, where several thousand people were massacred, for reasons such as they supported opposition parties, etc. That is something that is still very much on the forefront of the minds of Zimbabwean people. While yes, this man brings with him change and winds of change are definitely blowing through the country, there's still the reality that this man may have been at the helm of widespread violence against the Zimbabwean people. And so that is something that really needs to be tempered as we do celebrate this change.
Now, did you speak to any people on the streets, any Zimbabweans on the streets or South Africans on the streets, and what did they say?
Some people we spoke to on the streets of Johannesburg feel that Zimbabwe might be in a situation where one dictator is being swapped out for another. And so people are viewing it, cautiously. The change is coming, but is it really change? That's a common question that we're finding among Zimbabweans who are eager to head home, but are also really just watching to see what the coming days will hold and what the strategy of this incoming leader will be. And if indeed elections will be held quickly and a new change of guard happens, a fresh change of guard actually comes in.
Thank you, Nadia. That was Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi in Washington, D.C. Now, Chigondere and Kuznai Mtetwa are two young Zimbabwean reporters who will be hosting VOA's new program, Zimbabwe Today. Their show launches at a very interesting time in Zimbabwe history, and I had them in the studio to talk to me about some of the stories they'll be covering on the show. So both of you were born in Zimbabwe. You've known Mugabe as the only president, and you're starting a new show in a post-Mugabe era. What are some of the conversations you look forward to having on your show?
Just to see how things will change. I think I'm really excited to see all of the hope that people have. A lot of the conversations I've been having are about how people had lost hope, and all of a sudden this is kind of a breath of fresh air. Mm. They understand that it might not necessarily be a brand new day from the beginning, but they know that at least now there's the option for change.
I think the one thing I'm more excited to address is our generation actually, standing up and uniting and making sure that our government doesn't do us wrong again. Mm. So, yeah, that's what I'm excited about.
Now, many people are saying that given that the new president has been part of the old system or the existing system for the longest time, that this does not really represent change.
Do you feel that Mnangagwa is the kind of change that Zimbabwe was looking forward to, like your generation was looking forward to?
I don't know if he is necessarily the only change. I think the fact that there is the possibility of open dialogue is what has changed. And the fact that people are more engaged, there's people registering to vote, people are excited for the election. He is part of the former administration and the ruling party is still in place. So it's just a matter of making sure that if people do want the change, that they vote and they go out and participate in civil society.
Have you been following the politics in Zimbabwe for a long time?
Not as much as now.
Were you surprised by what is happening?
It's one of those things that everyone knew that somebody new was coming in. Mm. It just was a matter of when. It was a matter of is he going to wait to die in office and then somebody else come in?
Right.
Or is he going to appoint somebody before he does?
But we knew that, we knew that Grace Mugabe was positioning herself. And in essence, that would be a continuation of Mugabe himself.
That was what seemed to be the plan.
Mm.
But her immense unpopularity kind of changed the course of things, because as soon as they started positioning her to come into power, a lot of people who had a lot of respect, who were freedom fighters, were being pushed out of the way. And that was just, a lot of people saw that as a sign of disrespect.
Well, what are some of young people in Zimbabwe saying now about the situation right now?
Well, they're happy. For them, you know, they see Mnangagwa as for lack of a better phrase, a lifesaver in a sense, because they no longer have to deal with Mugabe. They no longer have to deal with Grace, who, you know, like she said, was disrespecting men who literally are twice her age and fought, you know, in a war that granted us independence.
Mm.
You know, they just saw the disrespect and were like, you know what, we're done with this.
Is that important to young Zimbabweans?
I think it's important just in general to Zimbabwe, because it represented a pivotal time in history. It was kind of like, okay, we've got independence from the colonizer, let's build it together. And then there was building, and then it started going downhill because of the people in power. And that a lot of people remember when it was good. The young people remember when they were younger and things were good. There was a good economy and they saw the decline and just kind of how everything changed from that. So having another opportunity to have change and then seeing somebody who didn't really have any respect for the struggles that anybody else had gone through, like your common man had gone through, come in and try to keep the status quo just didn't sit right.
Chidongere and Kuzna Mtetwa are the host of VOA's new program, Zimbabwe Today. This is Upfront on The Voice of America. That's it. We come to the end of our show today. Thank you all of you for listening in, and thank you for all of you who contributed to the show with your views and your opinions. Remember, the conversation continues. You can always check us out on our social media platforms. If you're on Facebook, type in Upfront Africa Show VOA. You can follow me on Twitter. My handle is at Upfront Africa. Let me know what you think about today's show, and also suggest some of the topics that we should cover for our next shows. From our Voice of America studios, I'm Jackson Vunganyi, wishing you a farewell for now.
Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We
believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences.